British Public Radio. Documentaries.
Over 5,000 people sleep rough on the streets of London. For them and many more in need, winter is the worst time. Providing year-round help for the homeless and destitute is the Manor Day Centre.
It's a kind of a release valve in the centre. Like, a lot of people have really serious problems. Unless they can talk to someone about their problems, they go mad. Basically, they would go mad on the streets. They would, yeah. If they didn't have someone or somewhere to go and explain a predicament, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's a totally different way of life. You know, I mean, it's just... I really couldn't explain the difference. I mean, the people are totally different. In the city, nobody has time for anybody else, you know? But it's different down there. People actually speak to you, do you know?
Paddy Boyle, as I said, I've been here since 1986, so I've did a lot of the jobs in the Manor Centre. Started off as a day centre worker, worked as a day centre worker in the day centre itself, did the advice work for probably 10, 15 years, and then for the last 5, 7, 8 years, can't remember exactly how long, I've been doing the administration here at the centre.
They've given out a bit of bedding now, which do we do? You might as well stay around just for a little while, just to experience what it's like. Australia. I'll put it on the bookshelf. This is done sporadically, you know, at different times we give out bedding because a lot of the people are in squats and a lot living on the streets and they need blankets. There's sleeping bags occasionally, you know, so this. As you can see, the numbers in here now, there's about 70 or 80 in here now. And at dinner time, it hots up more, 11:30. More people come in, you know, because it starts at 11:30. They come in for the main meal. I'd want to bring a bit more in.
We open at 8:30. People come in, they have a sandwich first thing. There's tea throughout the day. There's the occasional urn of coffee, but it is mostly tea. 10 o'clock we do a breakfast. In the wintertime it would be a warm breakfast, something like beans or porridge. In the summertime maybe something more like cereal, a bit cooler. 11:30 then is lunchtime, which is the peak period. Again, we do different lunches, sometimes spaghetti, sometimes curry, sometimes potato, you know, meat, veg, that sort of thing. So that is the busiest time.
We sort out that everybody gets some, you know, meal, proper, warm, hot meal, yeah. Yeah, we open 7 days a week, so the chef, the real chef, has got to, you know, take a day off, so I'm come here and do his. That's it.
I first got introduced by someone called Abigail, who was working here regularly. She isn't now, not so much. And we come about 9, and we just wash up really until 1:30, and then we clear up, wash the floors, and make sure everything's clean in the kitchen. And just have to make sure that there's always mugs on the trolley outside for the men to, you know, have their cups of tea.
There's a lot of pressure on the sink though here because 150, 200 people using the centre every day, 2 meals a day, and 3 times sometimes the afters too, you have to wash up. So it's very heavy, very compact, isn't it?
We see the same china going through about 4 times, don't we? The same mugs and the same plates going through. They get used again and again and again. But it's a great atmosphere here and we love coming.
Clothing we do on a Monday and a Wednesday. The clothing store people donate second-hand clothing to us. We pass it on to people who need it. We see 30 people each day we're open. Say we're open every Monday, every Wednesday, and 2 or 3 Sundays a month.
It's 3 items. We say 3 items per person, but you can have a pair of socks is now included. So you could have a pair of trousers, a jacket, and a T-shirt or something like that. But that happens quite, three times a week. Basically, this is the women's section, just for the women. The percentage is on that of the number of women using it, so you can do that.
50 people use the showers a day, and that's not including the guys that use the wash hand basins just for a quick wash and a shave. And when I say guys, say there's three male showers, one female shower. 90% of our clients are men, so we see a lot more men than we see women. Maybe 60% of our food stuff is donated. We get something like around 40,000 tins of food comes in at harvest festival time. So we do about 100 collections at harvest festival time. That would be mostly churches, some schools. Again, Pat and Malcolm have a very busy month around September. They go out, pick up the donations, bring them here and sort them into the various, you know, foodstuffs. So, 60% of the foodstuffs would be donated. The rest we would buy ourselves, and we buy the meat ourselves once a fortnight. We would buy stuff from Cash and Curry once a month as well.
Yeah, you can get that. You can get a free meal. You can get free. You can have a. You can bathe. You can have a shave. You can get yourself cleaned up. You can get help with if you want to apply for, if you want to help with like housing or help with benefits or things like that. Yeah, there's always someone there on hand to help with.
Five days a week, again different nurses 2 days a week, a mental health worker once a fortnight, osteopaths once a week, chiropodist once a fortnight are the medical services, and then the sixth service is secondhand furniture. People donate secondhand furniture to us, and we pass it on to people who need it. Again, there is a charge for that. It doesn't fully cover, you know, we subsidise the service, it doesn't fully cover our costs, but it helps part of the way. Again, basically Pat, we've met Pat and Malcolm go out, pick up the furniture, bring it back to our furniture store, and people come along, tell us what furniture they need, Pat arranges a price with them, then we deliver the furniture.
Oh, it's all, I mean, most of it's really good stuff, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
And where it goes to, I mean, it's appreciated.
It's charged £10 for this now, do you know, this, we do electrical test on it, there's a ticket on the back, do you know, saying it has been there, isn't it? Test. Yeah, there's a lift. But we've got to do that on the electrics. But we charge a small bit, like the fridge freezer, it's a lovely fridge freezer there, about £30. The table and chairs, about £15. This one would be about £20, £25, this table and chairs, it's an expansion table. A small wardrobe, about £25, £30. A three-piece suite, I'd say about £30. There's two armchairs, two-seater, and two armchairs, about £30, yeah. Double bed, about £25. Single bed, about £15. A large settee, there's a long one there, 7 foot. That's about £25. And the armchair would be about £30. You know, we we keep it very low, you know, the cost thing. So we don't charge for delivery, we only charge for the items. So basically we'll deliver this now for the tenner, you know, so.
And I always complain that the prices are too low.
Because I've always driven, like from day one, I when we had a car, we didn't have nothing at the beginning, and then we had a car, and then a small van, and a different van, you know, it all gradually, we got this. This is 4 years old now, it was brand new, it was donated from Pret Manager. You know,
yeah.
The sandwich people, yeah, they contributed this.
Your sandwiches this morning were all from Pret. Do they donate, like...
Every morning they come now at 7 o'clock. They come with sandwiches from... They go around all the stores. They're really good. They go around all the sandwich places and pick up all the sandwiches and then deliver it to us, yeah. So it saves us a hell of a lot on bread and food, you know, meat and that, the fillings, you know, for the sandwiches. So they really are, they pick them up, drop them off, you know, which is great.
Man, Manchester, yeah. I got married in 1971. 74, I got divorced. I tell you what happened. I walk in the hospital, see the floor's gone. Take care, I had a girlfriend. Hot deals. Because I was going back late every night. The house, everything went. It was my problem. I'm going to stop drinking. Stop it.
It's very hard for you to do that, no. Though, isn't it? It's not easy.
No. Do you know what the problem is? Live it on your own. I can't sit down looking at the walls.
Yeah,
I'm not painted up and all. Yeah. It's me. It's got to change. I found that out.
That doesn't mean everybody has problems, you know. I mean, there's some people who are just lonely. I mean, who can't cook for themselves, or, you know, they just want to come for a meal and a bit of company. You know, maybe a bit of aftercare with the social people, and, you know, they help a lot of people. There's a big turnover, isn't there?
That chap we just delivered to television is John Murphy. He comes in for company, as you say, as much as anything. And some of his drinking partners, like over the years, a lot of them have died. But he uses the centre. He's trying to get off the drink, but he hasn't. It's unless he gets proper help, which I don't know. If he's got to show willing himself, he's got to go after it. Really, you know, he's got to go after it.
But like I say, I mean, there's a few times at this where I've had no money, you know what I mean? I've come down here and gotten fed and clothes and everything, you know what I mean? And I had a bit of trouble there with the neighbours, and I got moved, and Pat moved me over to Kentish Town.
Off the top of my head, I think we have 10 full-time staff, 3 part-time staff, and then on a normal day, we would have 3 volunteers in the kitchen. If we're doing the clothing store, we'd have 2 volunteers working in the clothing store. And at the end of the day, and we would ask some of the guys themselves to help us clear up, which would be another, say, maybe another 2 guys. And again, during the day, we'd have two guys, homeless guys themselves, would help out collecting the dishes and things like that. So what would that be? 3. So 3 volunteers in the kitchen, 2 guys helping to collect, you know, collect the dishes, collect the towels. Maybe another 2 guys at the end of the day. It's 3 and 5, 7. Say if the clothing store is operating, that would be so about 9 volunteers per day. Full time workers, I say 10 full time workers, but again, that's not every day because it's a 7-day week. People work 5 days on, 2 days on. So it probably works out something like 50-50, really, 50% full time workers, 50% volunteers.
I used to live in a tent 5 years down Tennyson Lock. And I survived it. All the weathers, like high winds and everything.
Did you come here when you were?
Yeah. I used to use the centre a lot.
Oh, that's good.
And I joined up the church in Kings, and they're sorting me out with a flat. And it's fantastic.
I mean, apart from being homeless, that's quite a nice location.
Yeah.
He used to pack his bag, pack his few items every day, walk down to the centre, walk from Teddington down.
4.5 hours it used to take me.
Walk up,
yeah.
And then walk back again in the evening.
No, I used to call it Matlin's holiday camp.
But he's barred from most areas now. He's barred from the Lee. He can't go up to the Lee because he wants to put his tent up wherever he goes. And
I live in a nice place.
I live up in the Lee, you see, and I don't want.
I live in a nice posh area where they play golf. He calls it Smallyville.
3 of the 10 have been homeless themselves in the past and are now full-time workers. Again, we just when we advertise the positions, it's thrown open to everybody, and you know, everyone can apply. If people have a history of homelessness themselves, I suppose they're more sympathetic, or at least they understand what it's like to be homeless. They've been there themselves, so you know, if anything, it might give them an edge, providing that they meet all the other criteria. It would get, you know, the fact that they've experienced homelessness themselves. Again, I like to think that because they've been there in that position, they'd be more understanding to the guys coming in.
Well, my experience about the Manor Centre is not very much for me. It was concerning my brother. He was a bimbo that joined us. But as for the Centre itself, it is a good organised registered charity that helps homeless people. Yes, he enjoyed his work very, very much. He did like communicating with the homeless people, because he was homeless at one stage in his life when his marriage broke up. And that is the reason why he joined up at the Manor Centre, and he actually got a voluntary work there. And he got rehoused back in London from Manchester and back in the 80s, and that's how it really started with my brother.
A Franciscan sister who worked in Africa on and off for about 40 years. She came to London in around 1980, 82, the beginning of the 1980s. She'd been in Zimbabwe. She had experienced war. She'd worked as a theatre sister, seen a lot of difficult cases, people, gunshot wounds and things like that. Came back, she would say herself, she was in a very bleak period in her life. It was a very dark period in her life. Came to London and I think was just horrified to see in such a wealthy first world country there was so much homelessness. At that stage, round Charing Cross and the tube station there, a lot of people used to sleep rough. What is now where the IMAX cinema is in Waterloo, the old Bullring, used to be called the Bullring, a large, nearly like a third world country, a lot of people sleeping rough, and what they'd had things called bashes, basically made up of wooden crates, you know. So I think she was just shocked and horrified. Felt she was called by God to respond to that poverty. So she went to the diocese, the local bishop at the time was Bishop Henderson, and asked him for a building. He asked her, well, what are you going to do with the building? And she said, really, I don't know, I'll just open the doors and see what happens, see what God provides. Nanette's, I suppose, guiding light, say she was a Catholic sister, she did very out of Christian motivation. So she opened the centre. At that stage, when we opened in 82, there was a men's hostel in Tooley Street, 147 Tooley Street, which is now a theatre, now the Unicorn Theatre. There was a hostel which is still there behind Borough Tube Station, Great Guildford Street. There was a men's hostel, Salvation Army in Blackfriars, which has been since knocked down. So basically guys started coming from those hostels, these homeless hostels. And it started very, at a very small scale. Nanette didn't have any funding. It was purely, it was an act of faith. She just opened the doors. She used to get the bread free from a bakery up in Bermondsey Street, which is still there, called Ticino Bakery. And that, that plus the fact it was out of a faith motivation, the fact that she got free bread, she called the Manor Centre, bread from heaven. So that's how it acquired its name. As a Christian, I think, to my mind, as a compassionate human being, you have a duty to help people who are suffering and in need. So that's why we've always, targeted the Christian community. And we make no bones about that. We send out a newsletter and we say that, as Christians, we feel you have a duty, a responsibility. And that has been the case since we've started.
Dr. Ray Towie at the hospital, he was anaesthetist at the hospital, came by one day and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to help people that are destitute and things like that." So he said, "Why not start a committee and start to put a name on the building?" That was the first year. So she went along and she had a logo designed, Manor. And she went to one of the garages and she said, "Would you put Manor on a car plate, for us? And I'm going to put it on the building." I claimed the bishop gave her the building, the use of the building. So he said, I can give you 50p, 10 shillings a week or 50p a week. And she went back every week for about 5 weeks, and the guy said, go on, take it. Yeah, that's the way she kind of done. But she went and spoke in all the churches to raise awareness, and it gradually built up from there. And that was 82. 82 she got the key. 83 she named it the Manor, and it's 30 years on,
The Manor Project was produced by Kelly Steer and Max Nifton.